Let us pray. Father, once again, we come, Lord, to reach into that vast supply. Lord, knowing that only you, Lord, can feed your children. Only you can give them spiritual understanding. Only you, Lord, can give them that desire that makes them want this word more than anything in this natural life. And Lord, there's no greater thing that we could ask for this morning than for you to feed us, Lord, for you to give us revelation. And Lord, you said that's the greatest desire, that's the greatest thing that we can possess, that we can have. And Lord, we look to thee this morning for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would just have your way in the remainder of the service. We ask these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We just greet you in the name of the Lord. We're always happy to come together and to feast upon his word and to have this fellowship together. And it's not the fellowship that the world has. It's not the fellowship that the churches have. It's a fellowship in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's something that they don't have. And they don't have it because God don't give it to them. And it's not in their hands. It's not their choice. It's just, it's in the hands of God, and it's by design. And design means that God designed it to be that way. He had it in his mind exactly how it would be. He had in his mind who the elect would be. He had in his mind who that predestinated seed that would be able to receive the word of the age. He had it in his mind who it would be. And every one of them, for thousands of years now, they have proven and vindicated the seed within them by receiving the age, to receive the message that they lived in. And so that was proving the presence of God all the way through. It was God was proving his presence and showing that he was alive and that he had somebody on the earth that could believe his word. And now I may struggle a little bit this morning. As Brother Goomba, he stated this a while back. He was saying that he didn't feel like that he had what he wanted, or he wasn't where he wanted to be. I may not be quoting him just right, but for myself, I feel like that I worked too long yesterday in the yard here. And I didn't get into study. I thought I was going to work a half a day, and then I worked all day. And then I had my quotes already, and then just about an hour and a half ago, the Lord kind of turned me another direction. And so I didn't have time to really prepare myself, prepare these quotes, and study over them. So I just kind of, at the last minute, what I started here was I was looking at, of course, I'm continuing on our thought on the eternal covenant, but I was looking at one of the messages, choosing of a bride, and I even tried to listen to it last night as I was going to bed, and I was so tired. I don't know if I made 10 minutes. I might have made 5 minutes, and I was just gone. I was really tired, and so I had the message, choosing of a bride. And some of the things Brother Branham was talking in there about the bride. And so then I was adding a few quotes to it, and I was going to lead into it with spoken word as original seed. And so when I got in spoken word as original seed, I ran across where Brother Branham was talking about the virgin birth of the bride. But he was talking about it 2,000 years ago. And so I hadn't caught that quote before. I had, some years ago, I preached a message on the virgin birth of the bride. And had pulled those quotes, and now I can't even find those quotes. I've lost so much from my computer because I don't know if it's viruses, what it is. Somehow or another, I had a hard drive that got damaged or hacked or something. I don't know. A couple years ago, I lost so much stuff. But anyways, when I ran across that quote, it took me back to those things. And then he was talking about the spiritual multiplication of the bride, and and those things. And so it just turned me. And so maybe we'll come back and pick up on the choosing of the bride Wednesday. But for today, I want to go into these. I'm going to start. I read this quote on Wednesday night out of the Pergamon Church Age. I just want to read one little piece here just to get one little thought in your mind. The members of the Virgin Bride will love him. That's it right there. The Virgin Bride. This bride is a virgin bride. And now you listen to messages like Spoken Words, the Original Seed, and Brother Branham called her a prostitute, a whore, over and over and over again. He had every foul name to label her with. But when it comes down to the final analysis, he identifies her as the Virgin Bride. And there's only one way. There's only one way that she can be that. And that's because it is him. It's him. That's the only way. We were born in sin. We were born in death. And there was no good could come out of us. There's no good could... there's no way that you're ever going to perfect this. There's no way you're ever going to make this righteous. I don't care how much people think that they are. They won't. Because it's against the Word of God. It can't be done. It's born by sex. It's going to die. That's the Word of God. That's the promise of God. But there is one way that we have perfection. And there's one way that we are righteous. And that's because it's Him. He comes down and incarnates Himself in you by the new birth. He puts His life, His nature, His spirit in you, and you are standing in His righteousness. I'm not standing in my righteousness this morning. You're not standing in your righteousness this morning. If you are, you're lost, you're dead, you're done, you're finished. There's no hope for you. If you're standing on your righteousness this morning, you are dead. And so there's only one place you're going to get it, and that's going to be Him. And so that's where the bride is at today. The members of the Virgin Bride will love Him. And they have His potentials. For He is their head, and all power belongs to Him. And they are subject to Him, as members of our body are subject to our heads. Amen. Now, I didn't put the quotes in there out of the Invisible Union, but somehow or another that just came out. So this isn't Spoken Words, Original Seed. And paragraph 45 where I'm beginning. And then, after He made man in His own image, in the image of God created He him. Now, after He did this, now don't miss this. After God made His man in His own image by His own spoken word. Now, that was the perfect man. What was he? He was the perfect man. Adam was the perfect man. That's what the prophet's saying. He was a perfect man. He was made in the image of God. He was placed on the earth as God over all of the earth, over everything that God had created. God put Adam in charge of it. And so God is calling him the perfect man. And you say, no, that Brother Branham, and God is calling him the perfect man. But where the fall came was when he took from him a byproduct and made him a bride. And that's where the trouble is now. If you were spiritual, you have already caught it. See? Now, he didn't give us... Now, he's only into paragraph 45 in this message, but he's saying, if you're spiritual, you already have caught it. That's right. See? It wasn't Adam that got in trouble. It wasn't Adam that doubted the word. It was his bride that doubted the word. That's right. And it isn't Jesus that's doubting the word, for he was the word. See, it's his bride. And that's where the high breeding comes, right there. See, there's where the problem is. It comes with the bride. It came with Adam's bride. It came with Christ's bride. And it came by high breeding. That's what happened. Now, God had been trying ever since there, but I'm going to say again, what happened in the garden and Eve falling, it was by design. God designed it that way. God made them that way. God intended it for it to be that way. And you say, well, God can't do that. But Brother Branham's going to explain that. He's going to explain it, and he's going to place it exactly how it is. If death came by Adam, then it came by God. Death come by crossbreeding, right? Let's back up. I want to read paragraph 47 from the start. Didn't come through Adam. Shame on you who don't see that. See, it's not Adam's fault. Shame on the people who try to put it on Adam when it wasn't on Adam. Put it where it belongs. It was on crossbreeding. It came by crossbreeding the Word of God. And God had designed somebody that was a byproduct, was not in the original, so that it could happen that way. See, it's not Adam's fault. He had nothing to do with it. If death come by Adam, then it came by God. See, and death come by crossbreeding. So death came by Satan. It didn't come by God. And that's why Adam couldn't fall. He wasn't designed to fall. He wasn't designed so that he could be deceived. He was not. Death can't come by God's word. Death comes by crossbreeding. Crossbreeding it to a denomination. That's exactly what Satan did with Eve. He crossbreed that wisdom and brought it in and injected it into God's word. And he put wisdom and God's word together. And then she had a desire. They called it lust, but lust, it was a desire to know something more. So it doesn't come by the word. See, the word is life. And Jesus said, my words are life. And the Spirit quickens that word and makes it life. To crossbreed it, that's where the death comes from. See, right there. And if Adam be God's word, his spoken word, his original seed, see, for he was the first then by creation. And then his second Adam was also by creation, the spoken word. Brother Branham says, are you following? And that congregation says, amen. That's right. And Adam was not deceived, but his bride was deceived. And today, Christ is not deceived. The word is not deceiving. It's the bride that's doing the deceiving. Huh? By the word. Do you see it? Congregation says, amen again. They say they see it. That is the bride that's doing the deceiving. Why? Because they got away from the Word of God. Eve listened to somebody else and got away from the Word of God. It was the byproduct that got away. It was not God that got away. It was the byproduct that got away. It was that which God's bride that got away. That's what happened. All the way through. They failed. Every bride failed. It failed all the way through. It failed. But God promised he's going to have one that won't fall.
That's right.
And the only way he can do it, the only way it could be successful was that he make that bride and he come down and he dwells in that bride. And now the word cannot be doubted at all.
Right.
The word can't be doubted now because it's Christ himself. That's what we read on Wednesday night. The Christ and the bride is the self same person.
Yes,
they're the same person. They're not two different people.
Amen.
And that's the only way it can be. Because when you take the byproduct out, you make it a weaker vessel. And then Satan can attack that weaker vessel and cause it to lust for that knowledge. Cause it to lust for this and lust for that. And have that desire for the things of the world. That's exactly what's been happening for thousands of years. But God brought it in because for the last 2,000 years, he had a mediator. And that mediator, by the blood, was atoning for the ignorance of the people. There was something they didn't know. They'd been deceived. Satan had deceived them. He deceived them. As soon as that virgin bride was born at Pentecost, Satan come in and began to deceive and deceive. And that's just what he did in the Garden of Eden. Same thing. Now, when he come and took the book, when he came and took the book now, and he revealed to her exactly the truth of the whole plan of God. Now Satan was in a quandary. Now Satan was in a bind now, because now the bride knew exactly that she was one with him. And that she's no longer standing on her righteousness. She's no longer standing and saying, I'm this, I'm that, I've done this, I got baptized, I study my Bible, I pay my tithes, I do everything I'm supposed to do. Amen. I know that I'm a Christian because I've done everything the Bible says. You found out it didn't have nothing to do with none of that. Amen. Although all of that was good, none of that was the key. The key was, were you in his mind before the foundation of the world and manifested in your day and your age to manifest Jesus Christ in the form that he was going to be manifested in your day? If you lived in the dark ages, you would have had one thing. There would have been a spirit upon you that would drive you to walk right out there before the king and right out there into martyrdom and say, I'm ready to go. Take me. Kill me. I'm ready to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. It was a spirit on those people. And there was another spirit on another group of people that made them recant and say, no, I recant. I recant. I don't want to die. Two spirits. And those two spirits are there in every age. Amen. Because in the spiritual, it's life and death in every age. Amen. And one of them can only go with the word, and the other one can only go so far with the word. That's all they can do. Now, paragraph 51. Now, he gave him a bride, a type of the second Adam. He gave the first Adam a bride, and she fell. He gave the second Adam a bride, and she fell. Huh? Christ had a bride too, and she fell. And what did she do? She went off into wisdom. She went off into knowledge. She organized everything that God gave her. She just kept organizing it. And they divided it up, and they got into argument over the details of this and the details of that. They couldn't keep nothing pure. They argued over the name, whether it's titles or whether it's the name of Jesus Christ. They argued over the baptism. Is it sprinkling? Is it dunking? Is it just spiritual? Is it this? Is it that? They're always arguing over the details. And they're missing the main thing. They're missing the life that comes with it. There is a life. And when you get the life, then you know there's no more argument then. There's no more fuss then. You know that you're not going to argue anybody into it. You're not going to argue anybody out of it. You're not going to change anybody's mind. Amen. God has got to do it. He gave both of them a bride and both of them fail. And that's exactly why. Why? She's not an original. She's a byproduct. And the bride today is a byproduct, see? She calls herself the bride. But what she is, she's made up of a material of organization and not of the word. See? So much word in it to make it kind of a byproduct, to make it hypocritical. And that's Satan's specialty, is to make her a hypocrite, to make people a hypocrite today. That's what's wrong with the churches today. There's too much hypocrisy. It's there, it's everywhere. And as much as they say they believe, as much as they try to be sincere, as much as they try to serve God, unless they can accept all of the word of God, it is hypocrisy. That's where it ends up. That's where it always ends up. Amen. It always ends up there. Now, the bride of Adam was a type of the second Adam's bride. And Adam's bride could not wait. God had told Adam and Eve, multiply and replenish the earth. That's what God had told Adam and Eve. Just happens to be one catch. Eve was still inside of Adam when he got the command. When he got that command, she was still inside of him. And God said to Adam, who was both male and female, multiply and replenish the earth. It was an oncoming thing, a promise. She was not his wife as yet, because she had never lived with her. He had never lived with her. Huh? He had never lived with her yet. So, the bride of Christ is not his wife yet. And once again, there's a lot of details that can surround these two statements right here. And we can talk about that. We can argue about it. But there's no use. It's not the point we're trying to make. Sometimes we get so caught up with the details that we just ignore the whole point. The whole point, the important part of something, we'll ignore it so we can argue about details. When the church of Jesus Christ was perverted in the time of Rome after her virgin birth, this is what caught my attention. This is what caught my attention right here. After her virgin birth, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They received the message of the hour. It was a virgin birth. There was no man-made anything mixed into this. This was purely God was giving to them something new, a new and living testament. And that was a turning of a corner from coming from what they had in the Old Testament, where everything was about their works. Everything was about what they were doing and what they were doing for God and what they could do. All of that was done. All of that was over. And now they were turning a corner and God was bringing them a living revelation. And he was bringing them into it by a birth. And this was a virgin birth because there was no man-made creeds and dogmas and things mixed into it. See, and was given, after her virgin birth was given to Christ at Pentecost, what did she do? She crossed herself with Roman dogma. And the Protestant church has done the very same thing. She can't wait. Eve couldn't wait. The church couldn't wait. They immediately began to get away and inject their own ideas. And you read the New Testament, and that's what Paul was preaching to those people. They were already adding in their own ideas to the revelation that had been delivered to them. And Paul was so positive and so sure about the revelation that he had from God that he told him, he said, if I or an angel from heaven preach anything different than what I already preached, let him be accursed. Paul was convinced that God had revealed this thing to him. He went to the backside of the desert. He got the revelation. He came back. He delivered it to the people. He straightened out the disciples who had started all kind of rumors and different ideas. Paul laid it out. He brought the revelation. And still, the people walked over the top of it. They walked right over the top of the revelation. Now we see here the true revelation of the true type. There is three women carriers of the natural seed. Until matured into Jesus. There was three women carriers of the natural seed. Until it matured into the manifestation of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. How Ishmael could not be, because he was born really in what we would think of today out of wedlock, because he was a bondswoman's son. And then come a little more like him, like Jesus, see, which come out Isaac. But it still wasn't, because it was born of sex between Sarah and Abraham. But then along come Mary by the virgin birth and produced Jesus Christ. That's right. God the Word made flesh. And he did it by virgin birth. That's why he was perfection. That's why there was no sex. That's why with Adam, he was in the image of God, there was no sex. Jesus Christ, virgin born, there was no sex. Amen. So there was life. Now look, there was three women. There's three women typed here, churches. The women always types churches. Means three denominational ages carriers, which also must die and dry up. Just like the shuck and so forth does. To give room for the seed. All the rest have got to die now to bring room for the seed. So when Jesus came forth by the virgin birth, when Pentecost came forth by the virgin birth, then everything else had to die.
Yes, sir.
All of it had to die. All of it had to go off the scene. But did it? No, it didn't. It continued right on.
Yes, sir.
It continued right on. And it continues right on today. The seed cannot get ripe, see, until the shuck and the stalk and the leaves are all dry.
Amen.
So it cannot be fully mature. When it starts maturing, when the seed or when that maize or ear corn begins to mature, it is literally sucking the life out of all of the rest of the plant. It is sucking the life out of the root. It's sucking the life out of the stalk. It's sucking the life out of the leaves. It's sucking the life out of the shuck. It's sucking the life out of everything there that once had life in it. It is now sucking all of the life out of it, and all that life's coming into the seed and making it ripe. It's bringing it to perfection. That's what it's bringing it to. It's bringing it to perfection. And that's why everything behind us had to die. All of it had to die. That's right. All it saps every bit of the life in them out. Amen. All it was is that plus. Praise God. See? Now this is in seeds not there with the shuck. Now you can't do it. You cannot do it. Now it's seed time or bride time. The shucks are dead. The shucks are dried up. The virgin word time. What time is it? It's virgin word time. Why? Because that which failed 2,000 years ago had been hybrid and hybrid and hybrid and hybrid until now it don't even look like it did back there. It don't even look like it anymore. Now something has happened and that is going to bring us back to the pure word of God. Praise be to God. Now it's seed time or bride time. The shucks are dead. The shucks are dried up. The virgin word time. See? Not touched. It's a virgin. Remember, a virgin word time, if you'd put it in the hands of a denomination, it sure won't be virgin. See? It'll be manhandled. By the time you get to it. But God's church is not touched by denomination.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a virgin-born word of God made manifest.
That's right.
That's what the bride is. She's the virgin-born word of God made manifest. That's all she can be. And when she is born by the virgin word that's mixed, that is not mixed with any man-made ideas, any man-made anything, then she can only produce one thing. And that's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
In a veil of flesh, a body that's going to die.
Yes, sir.
She now is manifesting Jesus Christ in a body that's going to die. That has no hope of anything else because of the way it came. Through Eve and Satan. Even Satan worked this out and Satan brought it right down to every person born by sex is dead.
Amen.
Absolutely dead. No hope in any way. Dead.
Right.
It's a virgin. A virgin word time. If you'd put it in the hands of a denomination, it sure won't be virgin. If you put it in the hands of a man, it won't be virgin.
Amen.
Who is the messenger today? It's not a man.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ.
Brother
Branham said, I am not the messenger. He is the messenger. He's the one. Those statements like that, they only work for one group of people on the earth. Other people can read it. They can say it. But it just doesn't completely come together for them. Amen. Those things are for the bride, because she is being led by her head, by her husband. And her husband has come to her and has incarnated in her and has impregnated her, and she is reproducing him by a virgin birth. By a virgin birth, because it's a virgin word that has annihilated that old nature and has brought forth Jesus Christ in her. Producing in her the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, God's church is not touched by denomination. Hallelujah. It's a virgin born word of God made manifest. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful. I love it. I believe it. I know that it's the truth. It'll not be touched. There'll be no denominational manhandling in the virgin birth of the bride. There won't be. There can't be, because God's protected it. God has protected this thing. And if it's not protected, then it will not be the virgin word. It will be denomination. It will be man-made idea. Because God is only protecting that seed that He predestinated before the foundation of the world. Nothing else. He's not interested in none of the rest of it. He's not interested once the life leaves the stock and the shuck and the tassel and all that. He's not interested in it no more. It served His purpose. It served His purpose. God had a purpose for it. And as long as the life was in there, God was protecting it. And as soon as God was done with it, the life left it and it went into the seed. And now, the shuck that was protecting the seed, God was with it. God was with it because it was protecting the seed. But then when it sucked the life out of that, it no longer needed the shuck. That seed needed that shuck to protect it from the sun until it was fully matured. And when it is fully matured, it no longer needs it anymore. You can take it out and you can hang it in the sun, and the sun does nothing but help it and preserve it.
Right.
If you take during the when that thing first starts to form, if you take and pull the shuck all the way down, all the way around it, the sun is going to destroy it.
Yep.
You have perverted it. You have messed it up. You've ruined it.
Yep.
But you leave it there and let the shuck do its job. And as soon as the shuck begins to dry, that thing now is coming into perfection. And when it comes into perfection, that seed, you go places, you see things different. I've seen them harvest in India, the rice, there's different things. And in Kenya, when they harvest, now they have different, and Brother Gumba could probably tell you many different ways. But I marveled at Brother Mariah's farm, watching them take the seed off of the cob, what we call the cob. I don't know what you call it. You call it the cob? Okay, taking the seed off the cob. And so the boys, they had a difference with their dad. And so he's saying, why don't you do it this way? And they're saying, no, we want to do it this way. And so he would put it in a bag. He would put it in a bag, and then he would take something heavy and beat it. He would either take the whole bag and beat it like this. And that's what the boys were doing. He was taking an object. He was taking an object and hitting the bag with this heavy object. And so they were disagreeing with it, but either way worked. And you would think, this would be your thinking here, not doing those things or not having that original corn as close to original as could be had. It's still a hybrid, but it's as close. It's a million miles past what we have here. Let's just put it like that. It's a million miles better. But that thing is hard as a rock. It's like beating rocks. You would think, oh, they're just chipping it all up and destroying it all up, and they're making powder of the seed. Oh, no, no. What they're destroying is the cob. The cob, it's going to knock it off the cob because the cob can't hold it no more. That's what's happening. And so the seed, I'm telling you, as you know, they say they have seed that came from Pharaoh's barns. I don't know how they know that. But that seed, you lay it on that table right there and come back in 100 years and put it in the ground, and it will produce. It's the real thing. It's the real thing. Here, they take out that thing. They genetically modify it now so it won't reproduce itself, and you have to buy seed every year. Can you imagine what those farmers went through here 100 years ago when scientists started doing that? You know, all in the name of a better corn, a better corn, a better corn. And I remember in those days, and you still find it, if you go out, you get out around Illinois and Iowa, the two top producers of corn in the U.S., they have their crop of what they planted for the year, and then they'll have maybe 50 acres or 100 acres, and those they have out there, they can have hundreds and hundreds of acres. And you can actually drive for hours and hours and see nothing but corn both sides of the road, and you'll see a house. Go and see nothing but corn, and another house, and it's right inside the corn. That's all they grow there, and the soil's perfect for it. But they'll always have this section of so many acres of land, and there'll be test crops. They'll be testing new varieties. I'm sure you've seen it maybe around, but there you find it, a lot of it. Even they do it in Florida there because they plant a good bit. And so they'll have the variety. They'll have a sign there. It'll have listed the variety and what it's going to be and all of that. Let me just move on from there. But they're testing something new. They're testing something new. We don't need something new. We need the original. Those cannot reproduce themselves. Only God's word can reproduce. There'll be no denominational manhandling in the virgin birth of the bride. No, sir. She's commanded by God to come out of such. Touch not their unclean things. Become vultures. That's right. Back to the spoken words, original seed in paragraph 59. And I reduced the size on some of that so I could just bypass it. But I know some of you go back and you read, so you can read the before and after there. It all goes together, but I just don't have time to read it all. And sometimes I feel bad about reading so much as it is. But one thing that we're happy about, that it's our absolute. It is our absolute. Paragraph 59. That's what Christ has found. He couldn't wait. That's what's the matter with the people today. They can't wait for the real Holy Spirit to take the church in position. The people, the churches today, they can't wait on God to do it. They want to do something themselves. And they always, when the Holy Ghost was poured out 2,000 years ago, then people were praying for the sick. They were casting out demons. And other people, not wanting to necessarily be a part of that, but they wanted to be. They wanted to cast out devils. They wanted to do these things. And you see it. You read about it in the New Testament there, where they come in and they tried to do those things, and it didn't work for them. And so the Satan recognized where the seed was and where the seed wasn't. And they paid for those things many times. They didn't want all of the word. They just wanted a part of the word. And that's how, unfortunately, it works so much of the time. They can't wait for the real Holy Spirit to take the church in position. They got to manufacture something, work something up. Initial evidence, speaking in tongues, to get more members in the church. See, all these kinds of tommy rot. Now, he speaks really straight in this message. And he really, any preacher sitting out there took a beating on this day. They took a beating. Instead of waiting on the Lord for the real manifestation. Now, he's using these words, true. The true Holy Spirit, or the real Holy Spirit, and the real manifestation. Because What they had now had been perverted. What they had now had been messed with, had been added to, had been messed up by man. But now God is going to bring it back to the original seed. And that original seed is He Himself. As a brother tried to tell me one time that it was Pentecost. It was not Pentecost. Pentecost was not the original seed. Christ was the original seed. He was the one that went into the ground. He, the Word, is what went into the ground. Pentecost didn't start off with all of the Word. They started off with a part of the Word. They just started off a byproduct, a piece, something off of the original. The original had came, and He had paid the price. All these kind of tommy rot, instead of waiting on the Lord for the real manifestation of the resurrection of Christ, making Himself known among the people. See, she can't wait. She can't wait. And I was thinking, we've read so many things around here lately, and and since the message that Brother Goomba bought, it's really, it's had it on my mind a lot. And so it's the problem today. And I was reading this morning too, Brother Adam said again, the problem that America, number one in divorce. And it's just getting worse. It's getting worse. They don't even need to marry. I think we mentioned here a while back where they're starting now, and Brother Michael probably knows better than me, where they're starting this thing with a contract. Like, instead of a until death, it's like you can start out with a 5-year or a 10-year contract. So you get married to somebody, and then in 5 years, you can either renew or else you everything dissolves. Everything goes back to just as if you were single. And I'm like, you talk about having Satan in the works, the devil in the details. That is so messed up. That is so far from what God had in His mind. And we were in our devotion last night, we were reading Mark chapter 10, and that question comes up. They came to Jesus tempting Him. They came tempting Him on the marriage and divorce question and asking Him about it. And it's basically the same thing as Matthew 5, 31 and 32. And so he takes them back. You notice He answered the question with a question. And He said, "What did Moses say?" What did Moses say? And He said, "Moses said that we could divorce her." And He said, "He did. He did say that." He said, "But from the beginning, it wasn't so. That never was a part of God's plan. It never was. God never had any intention of divorce. God never had any intention, but because of the hardness of their heart." So if they would have stayed pure in their minds and in their love for God, they wouldn't have went that way. They would have kept the right way. They would have went the right way. But instead, they got off, and then because of the hardness of their heart, there they go. And then God starts bringing something in it. And that's the same thing. And they continued right on. Back there in those days, they wanted a king. And God said, "What? Why? Why do you want a king? If your enemy comes, I reveal to my prophet and tell you. I've supplied all your needs. I've done everything for you. Why do you want a king?" Amen. And you know, as a young Christian, when I first came, I didn't understand for a long time. I thought, man, there's something wrong here. And I thought there was just something was wrong about the Bible. Because Brother Branham, he kept talking about them wanting a king and that they chose Saul. And then when I got, started coming up and I started studying a little bit, I thought, well, they didn't choose anybody. They didn't choose anybody. God sent the prophet down there to anoint Saul. And in my carnal mind, not knowing the scripture, not knowing God's thinking, I thought, this is wrong. Why is it like this? Why does He say it like this? And so then as I become a little bit more spiritual, begin to understand, I realize that he's the Word. He's always the Word. Amen. And the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Right.
And God knew what they had in their mind, yes, and what they wanted. And so he gave it to them, exactly what they had in their mind, exactly what they wanted. And Saul was their man. He was the biggest. The Bible says he was head and shoulders above any man in Israel. So that means the tallest man in Israel came up to about here on Saul. So he you know, that was the one. No doubt he was a good-looking guy, friendly guy, nice guy. Everybody liked him. But then when he couldn't follow and obey the Word of God, and then he proved what kind of man he was by chasing David all over the country, then God finally took him off the scene. And all the time that God was showing what Saul was made up, he was showing what David was made up. Because David wouldn't touch him. David could have killed him twice. He had him in his hands. He wouldn't speak against him. He wouldn't touch God's anointing. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't go there. He wouldn't have anything to do with that. And already David had been anointed by the prophet, knowing that was his throne, that was his kingdom, that was his everything. It was his. And God already told him it was his. And he wouldn't touch that man. He wouldn't touch him for nothing. What is it? Verse 61. She is pregnated. Christ's bride has become pregnated with the world. Dressing like the world, acting like the world, big churches, fine. What? It shows what she is. She's of the devil. That's what's happened. She become pregnated with the wrong seed. And the wrong seed didn't produce Christ. It produced the world. It produced something else. And that's what Christ's modern bride is, see? She's kicked out because she's excommunicated from God. Because she's a whore and not a virgin. It's deep, but I hope that you get it. Remember, this was back in 62, and they were still, they hadn't got to the seals yet, and they hadn't got to a lot of these things. And he makes statements in here that he come deeper with afterwards, even on the wedding, marriage supper, some of those things. But nothing, there's nothing wrong. It's all coming. It's all coming right in this time. Paragraph 62, Adam's bride could not wait, but she mingled her seed illegally. Illegally. See? Paragraph 64, and now he finds her all messed up. You think he'd marry such a thing as that? Never. He's holy. Now he's talking about Christ, Christ's bride now. I left that out of there. See? He's holy. She couldn't wait. Illegal. That's right. Eve couldn't wait, so when Adam found her, she was already with seed. The church couldn't wait, so Christ found her already with seed, already pregnated by the world, already messed up. That's what Adam found. Now, brethren, sister, look back. If you look at a shadow of anything, it's the very expression of the real thing that's coming. So when you see Eve get messed up and get impregnated by somebody else besides her husband, that you know that's what's coming. Is that what he's saying? That's what he's saying. He's saying this is an expression, this is a type here, saying so when you look back there, you know what the future holds. This is what their mother did. Now this is where it's gonna, this is the way it's gonna go all the way through. And that's what it did. It was doubt all the way through. All the way through, it was going to take him coming back. It was going to take him with no doubt, with pure faith, with pure nothing but the pure seed once again. See, it's the very expression of the real image that's coming. So you see, Adam had to find the wife pregnant. Now, this is why I said a couple times, it was by design. It was by design. God knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. And she said, the serpent beguiled me. Now, I'm going to take it both ways, just in a few moments. The Lord willing, see, show you that that's impossible for it to be anything else. Huh? Why? Because she was the byproduct. Because she was designed that way. She was designed so she could be deceived. She was designed so she could fall. God didn't make her fall. Right. Satan deceived her and she fell. God knew that. God planned every bit of it for his purpose. Right. Now, Adam's bride could not wait, but she went forward first. That's the way today, the bride today. She wants to manufacture something. That's right. Glory to God. She's got to work it up on the platform, see? She's got to have everything, see? What is she doing? She's manufacturing something. That's where you really find out is in these Pentecostals. But now I'll say this. In the last 10 years, maybe 15, it's turned around, and now Pentecost is coming back to the message people. A lot of people that had got away from it, they're turning back to it. And now, because you got to consider now, it won't be long. And it's going to be 100 years. It won't be long, and it's going to be 100 years since the commission on 1933. Now, you think 100 years and people, and there's been so much division in the message. There's been so much quabbling, so many differences, so many different things, and that it's not working out. And a lot of ministers, they're completely afraid of the mysteries altogether. I went to a brother in the Philippines one time, and it was his first thing. He said, "Brother, we just stay right with what the Bible says, right with what the," he tried to say the prophet, but it didn't fit him very well. He said, "We don't want none of these mysteries, none of this other stuff, none of this, none of this, none of this." And they said, "Well, brother, that's why the prophet came. That's why the prophet came, so you could understand that Bible. So you'd know what God is doing today. God had a plan for today. God is revealing something today." But so now they've gone all of this time, almost 100 years. And so now none of they can't get the mysteries to work because they don't have revelation. They don't have the seed. They haven't been married to Christ. So now they got to do something. So they're trying to produce something. And so when they begin to produce Pentecost again or some form of it, they try to they either go back to what it was there, or they try to bring it up in a more glorified or more dignified a way of bringing it in light of the message today. And so I've seen them locally here, preachers pushing for the prayer line. That they want to have a prayer line every service. Let's have a prayer line. The preacher preaches, or even the ones pushing for the prayer lines, they'll go into different churches, and so they'll preach a little message, this and that, and they'll give a testimony, and it's all real good, it's all real nice, and then they want to have a prayer line, and then the same people are in the prayer line every time, and after a while, everybody's been through it so many times till there's nobody to get in the line. And the preacher goes home disappointed because nobody was in the prayer line. But he's not feeding them spiritual food. If he's feeding them spiritual food, they'll get that healing sitting right in their chair. They can get it sitting right in their chair. And I'm not saying anything wrong with if somebody calls you and says, "Come pray for me. Come. I don't even care if you lay on hands, but I'm telling you, you don't have to. Amen. You don't have to.
That's right.
All you have to do is believe what God said. Brother, that's the day we're living in. What is she doing? Manufacturing something. Look where it's going. You can see there's nothing to it. It's phony. Exactly right. If it wasn't, this world would be aflame with the power of God. The church would be on fire. Oh, what dead would be raised. All kinds of things would be taking place. Amen. Praise be to God. And I'm going to tell you, there's more than one kind of raising the dead. Because this word will raise the dead out of man-made ideas. This word will raise the dead. And when she's done, and this is paragraph 73. When she's done, she's brought out a product of a bunch of people that will compromise anything. Refuse the very message of God. Not knowing what she's doing. She's ignorant of it. She don't believe. She don't think that she's wrong. This is the problem. And every one of us have to know that we are standing on God's word and that we are filled with God's spirit. And if we're not, we can be wrong and not know it. We can be wrong and think that we're right. Neither did Eve think she was wrong. Eve thought she was right. And if that was a type, this is an antitype. It'll have to work the same way that the type did. That's exactly right. Everybody thinks they're right. And if God said multiply to his bride, to Adam's bride, and replenish, multiply and replenish the earth, that was God's commission. See? And she would have done it, and he would, mixing themselves together. But what happened? When Adam got ready to come to her, she was already a mother. You see what I mean? Now, the same thing has happened to Christ's church, Christ's bride. And notice, in this bride, what did she do then? Her first child came forth. It was a bastard child. And he was full of death and caused death. He was full of death and he caused death. See? And everyone since then is death. Everyone since then is death. Now, you see, it had to be sex. Why are you dying? If it wasn't sex. There's the problem right there. There's the problem. That's what brought death. When God gave a commission, which cannot perish, God's word is eternal. Are you hearing what he's saying? When he told them to multiply and replenish the earth, that had to be done. It has to be done. Multiply and replenish the earth. That was God's eternal purpose. See, to carry that out, you cannot die. Oh, now he's talking about another realm, isn't he? Now he's talking about another side. He's not talking about the replenishing that's going to bring death. He's talking about the replenishing that's going to bring life. That's the one he's talking about. See? That was God's eternal purpose. To carry that out, you cannot die. Because it's his word, you have to live. And if that child had been brought forth the right way, there'd have been no death. But she couldn't wait. That's right. And that's what's the matter today. You want some kind of phony makeup with screaming and jumping and speaking in tongues or something? Instead of waiting for the real word of God to be made manifest through the bride? What do they want? Amen. The real word. The real revelation. The real spirit. The real everything. He keeps identifying this day, this message, as the real. Yeah. Instead of waiting for the real word of God to be made manifest through the bride. That's where it's coming. Them kind that takes the word is God's true bride bringing forth children. What's she bringing? She's bringing forth children. And they can't die. A child the bride brings forth on the word can't die. Now, we just read those quotes just recently, a few services ago, that a Christian don't die. A believer don't die. That's what he's talking about. This virgin birth that he's talking about, there's no death. There's no death to this. It's eternal life. And when you're born by this birth, then you and him have become one. And you now are manifesting him. Nothing else, just him. Little by little, all of that's going. It's going, it's going. For the bride. Just what he said about the stock, about the shuck, about all of it. All of it's going to to ripen, mature the seed. And when that prophet told us that there's only one thing that we need to do, lay in the presence of the sun. Amen. Lay there and get all of the greenness out. Get everything out to bring it to that perfection, to bring it to that ripeness, to get out everything that Satan has been mixing together for the last 2,000 years or the last 6,000 years. Get all of those ideas, all of those traditions, all of America, all of Kenya, all of India. Get all of those things out. And let's get right focused. Just get right in tune with Him, what He had in His mind before the foundation of the world. See, a child the bride brings forth on the Word can't die because it's the Word. Amen. Did you get it? She can't die. See, that child can't die because he's a Word child. He's a seed child. He's an eternal child. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was. A spoken, eternal child. Praise be to God. Does eternal have a beginning? Does eternal have an ending? It doesn't. This eternal child here is a part of the Father. Or it can't be eternal. There's only one eternal life. And if you have it, it's Him. Didn't have to die, but He did it in order to pay the debt. Let me back up. Paragraph 83. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was, a spoken eternal child. So now, if you are in Him, He is in you, and you are manifesting Him. You have been born by the word of this day. You have been born by the true word, the real word. Amen. Then you are an eternal child.
That's right.
That's what you are. According to Him. According to Him.
That's right.
You can't create eternal children. Nope. You cannot create eternal children. No. They come by a spiritual birth. They came by a birth that only God can produce, that God can quicken a seed and bring forth life. God only can do that. That's the only way. See, you didn't have to die, but He did it in order to pay the debt. That's the only way it could be paid. Nobody else could do it. See, they was all sexual born after the devil, his plan. You got it now? See, that's right. And I didn't even catch that before. That He was answering the question in somebody's mind when He's saying that, when He drops in the fact, here's an eternal child, and He's saying, He didn't have to die. He did it to pay the price. He did it to pay the price. What's in us can't die, but this flesh will. This flesh will die. But He could have went right on and right on. Marriage and divorce, paragraph 238. Now look, in the final analysis, there's one Jesus Christ. Is that right? One man, God, Emmanuel. Do you believe that? But the members of His wife are many, see? Thousands times thousands of thousands. Is that right? His wife, the bride, the church. You understand now? That's why He said to Adam, before there was ever introduced, multiply to replenish the earth. Before sex was introduced, before anything was introduced, before the byproduct was taken out of Him, multiply to replenish the earth. When He was yet in the beginning, when He was yet both male and female in Himself, there shows then that the bride has got to come from the Word.
Amen.
By spiritual multiplication.
That's right.
Multiplications, see? Replenishing the earth. What's he trying to replenish? What's he trying to bring forth? God's not concerned about how much flesh he can put on the earth. He wants to bring his seed. He's going to bring every seed, quicken it to life. Every seed, that's what's being produced. That's what we're concerned about. That's what we're interested in. We're interested in that seed bringing forth, being quickened, being resurrected, and bringing forth Jesus Christ in this day. It's not about flesh and blood. We don't care about the flesh and blood. The seed. The seed. Brother Rand said that's what's wrong with too many churches. They're only worried about filling up the chairs. Fill up the chairs. Fill up the chairs. Have the house full. That's all fine. But he said, I'd rather have a half a dozen full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Than to have a house full and have all of that false and phony and fake and everything else. Give me the real thing. At the end, there will be one Lord Jesus and his bride, many, singular. Huh? Bride, many, singular. That's wife. His wife will be many-membered. You get it? There was one David on the throne, one king, after God's own heart with 500 wives. See? Jesus sitting on the throne, hallelujah, in the millennium, with a wife like it was at the beginning, created out of the earth by the hand of Almighty God. Huh? She's going to have a body, not that came by sex, but a body that was made by God. There you are. Women struggle to be that. Come into Christ. Then you'll not be in that filthy mess out there. But as long as you're just a church member trying to live moral and good yourself, you'll never make it. And neither can a man make it outside of Christ. As Paul, should I repeat that? Neither can a man make it outside of Christ. It is him. It is his righteousness and perfection. As Paul went on to say, but they're in Christ. There is neither male nor female. They're all one. That's right. But to get this marriage and divorce straightened out so that you would know which is right and which was wrong, how he plainly shows here in these types. There's one Christ and many members of that wife. And notice, he can put us away for spiritual fornications and false doctrine anytime he wants to and make it. See? I'm sorry, anytime he wants to. But how dare you try to put him away and make it? That's right. He can put you away, but you can't put him away. The man can put away his wife and marry another, but not the woman put away her husband and marry another. See? See all the shadows and types there perfectly balanced up? See the original creation? Not the byproduct nowhere. Not the church, the bride through the word. See? The bride through the word. Not the woman, the man. Each time. That's why it never says anything against the man doing it. It's always the woman. That's exactly. But she can be the bride of Christ. See? Remember, she being a part of the man, the Bible said she can. See? Nevertheless, now he goes to the scripture, nevertheless, I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the byproduct was deceived. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved if she continues in holiness and sobriety and in childbearing and all such. Because then she becomes a part of this man. That's what brings it. Then she becomes a part. And when she's a part of the man, there's no separation. When she's a part of the man, they are one in all, in their heart, in their mind, in all things, they become one. And that's what Satan has perverted in this day. then it's sad. It's sad. You can't even imagine all the things of where we're at today. And we see a lot of it, and we don't even know the half of it, of what is actually going on behind the scenes, the things that they are doing, the things that they are doing. And they protect those things. And the things they want to expose, they can expose, they can dig through your life and expose everything in your life all the way back down to your birth. And then if you're doing something that's in this thing, just like you take this fantasy island, this thing with Epstein and these elites and the child pedophiles and all of the things that was going on in those places, and they're saying now there's more than one island, there's some other ones that are out there. And it's sealed. They sealed it up. It's so everything is so biased now. Everything now is so hypocritical. Everything now is if you're on this side, then and what's happened is, and I don't know if anybody's seen it coming, but it's become more real in the last 10 years. I've never really noticed it before. But the judges, it's the judges now are all on the left. And you can see it because everybody that's going to court, if they're on the left, somehow there's a loophole or there's no push. And if they're on the right, then they can just tie them up. You know, you don't have to win a court case. You can make a billionaire go broke in court. You can string him out, and not only that, you wear him down. You physically wear him down, and you can see the news. You see what's going on, and you see it's cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's also costing the taxpayers. Now, what's being charged to people? It's also costing the taxpayers. It's breaking the government, and. Paragraph 84, but every man, no matter whether he is the pope, the priest, the bishop, whatever he dies because he's a hybrid. That's exactly. He was born between Satan and Eve. And they call it whatever they want to. It was Satan and Eve. So you can call it whatever you want to. It was Satan and Eve. That's what it was. The original word had nothing to do with it. The original word was life. He had hybrid it, and it brought death. That's right. That's what it did. Paragraph 87. Throwed her in a bed of worldliness. She can't bring forth nothing but dead children. Then if a denomination can only bring forth a hybrid child, why do you want to belong to it? See? Now, brethren, that's the reason I'm against it. She's a whore to begin with. The Bible says she was a harlot. And that's plain words, but I told you I was going to talk plain today. And that's what she is. She commits spiritual fornications by taking dogma and creed instead of the word, teaching her children to do the same thing. Now her children are come from the womb dead. Huh? They come from the womb dead. She's got to die. That's exactly right. Just the same as every man. Listen. Just as sure as every mortal person that breaks the womb of a woman will die, so will every person that's born by them will die. Because she's a hybrid, illegitimate, and her children are illegitimate. That's correct. I hope that don't go over your head. Amen. I remember Brother Goomba spent a lot of time on that a while back, maybe a year or so ago, and there was a lot of opposition, but you're going to die. You're going to die. There's no two ways about it. It's death. Paragraph 90. Now, Jehovah had a bride once. Adam had a bride. Jesus had a bride. Jehovah had a bride. You know that. See, he had to put her away. She became a whore. So he put her away. That's exactly what he said. She became a whore, prostitute. What caused her to do it? He goes into the story, actually, of Samuel and the king. She wanted something else. She wanted something else. She wanted to be like the other nations, wanted to be like this group and that group. And people still want that. People still want that. It's still a copycat. Jesus said, but few there'll be will be saved. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. This is paragraph 93. See, but few, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there'll be that find it. See, just a few. If he said few, that's the word of God, that seed. There'll be a few. It won't be tens of billions and billions. It'll just be a few that will find it. See? Them was predestinated to it. They'll hear it. The former rain has went forth now. You hear that? He was declaring it in 1962. The former rain now had came to pass. It had happened. And they were looking for the latter rain. And they even started organizations. They even started groups called the latter rain. That's paragraph 34. Where are we at? Oh, painted face Jezebel. Okay, I'm going to get done early here. I'm going to end with this right here. And that's what's the matter today. That people act like the world. They talk like the world. They dress like the world. And make the church and the world all the same. The Christians, the Holy Ghost religion is too straight for them. That's the problem in the churches. That's the problem. And now today, the true vision is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The true vision, the true word, the true promise. Brother Branham said the token never came into existence until the evening time. The true baptism, the true new birth. That's what we have now. The true prophet is the baptism. It's the Holy Spirit himself. That's what it is today. Brother Branham said it over and over and over and over again. It's him. He is here. He's the one. He's the one you're looking to. He's the one that's doing these things. He said, it's not me. It's him. That's right. It's the Holy Spirit himself. He is the one that comes and lines us with the Word. We don't line ourselves. He lines us with the Word. He reveals the Word. He makes it known. And notice, not some bishop or archbishop, but the Holy Spirit leads the church. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. He is so great. He is so powerful. He's so wonderful. We are so blessed. Amen. To be in this hour, to know. And you think, we read in the Bible the great supernatural things that took place over and over and over again. And we think, when we read this, this is the greatest. When we read this, it's the greatest of anything that's ever happened. And yet, Satan says, yeah, but you don't have this, and you don't have that, and you don't have this. No, this is life. This birth is life. This is the real birth. This is the real life. This is the genuine thing. And this is what they were waiting for. And all of the supernatural that they had, all of the signs, all the manifestation, everything they had was pointing to this. And everything that they had, they still were lacking the full life. And that's why they come with him. When he come, the promise was that they would come with him. And they have. They have. And they're the Word. They're the living Word made manifest. And so all of it's in him. The millennium's in him. Life is in him. Everything is in him. Praise be to God. Are we thinking? We praise him. We'll ask you to stand together with us. Praise be to God. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for this day, for this spiritual food. We thank you, Lord, for every promise of this day and age. And Lord, we know that there's so much. And Lord, that The flesh can't contain it. The mind can't comprehend it. But Lord, as you see fit, you reveal it to your bride. Lord, word upon word and line upon line. Here a little, there a little, Lord. And Father, it stirs our hearts every time that we open these books, as we read these messages, as we hear that voice. Father, there's something about that voice. Of all the preachers that we've heard, of all that we've seen, of all the messages, Lord, that prophet, there's something genuine, there's something so real, there's something so honest, there's something innocent there, Lord, there's something that is so powerful, Lord, that is just beyond comprehension. But Lord, we know that it's the power of God, that it's the voice of God, Lord, that is manifested in this day, that has spoke the words of life to your bride. And Lord, this bride, she is speaking those words of eternal life. And Lord, every seed that is within earshot of that, you water it and you quicken it and you bring it forth as another eternal child. Lord, by that bride speaking eternal life, speaking the real revelation, Lord. And we thank you and praise you. Lord, may you bless each one today, those that are here, those that are not. As you know every heart, those that would listen in. Lord, we just commit all to you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you, and you're dismissed.